Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
If schools open, which we hope they will, the teachers will wear masks. Kids of a certain age will wear masks. We have to figure out if it's going to be staggered days. The more you go on, and other states now are saying it's just going to be online schooling, I was really into the fact that the kids were going to go back to school about a month ago. And then when the governor held her press conference, I really thought, okay, this could happen. I totally see this. Now, as we sit here on July 14th, it sure in the hell doesn't seem like school is going to be in session as far as at schools. Seems like the kids are going to be at home. Doesn't seem like we're going to have high school sports. Doesn't seem like we're going to have college sports. And it sure seems like as we grow forward here with all the COVID cases that we're not going to have school. But I do wonder, and Tom and I and Heather were talking about this, we want to hear from teachers. We want to hear from parents. We want to hear from, really, if you don't have kids, we want to hear from you anyhow. Is there any way this works? Is there any way this school thing works in the fall? Because the longer it goes, the more skeptical everybody gets. And me, for one, my kid's not old enough to go to school yet. But I'll just be honest. We sent her back to daycare. She goes 3 days a week. There's no COVID cases. That's not saying there can't be. I understand there's a risk there. But I also saw her over the last, I want to say, couple months. And I'm pretty sure that she needs some form of social development. You know, I think her attention span isn't what it used to be. I truly think she benefits being in the company of the other kids and teachers that do this for a living. So the wife and I made the decision, we're going to send her back for 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And some people hear that and think we're insane. But it's the same thing with schools. Like, I think schools are super important. I think kids need the schools, but you also can't ignore what's going on in front of you.
So first, Atlanta, Los Angeles, San Diego are keeping schools closed to start the school year. They're going to do all online. That came out yesterday. And then Nashville is doing it through Labor Day, at least. Now, those southern states, they start usually early August. So the first 4 weeks or so are going to be online. I totally think they should be back in school. And I think it's, you know, a no-brainer. Having three kids that are 10 and under and gone through what we did March through June with trying to homeschool, and I think we did as best of a job as we could. Kudos to my wife for doing that, most of that. it's just not the same. And I think we have to push forward. There are risks. You have to take risks in life. You have to take calculated risks. Kids really aren't getting sick from this. I do worry about teachers. I think they should be masked. I think kids should wear masks. I believe basically a classroom should be four desks together, like facing each other basically, and you put some sort of partition in between it, like the plexiglass, to where it blocks them from coughing and going out. They can take the mask off at the desk. Anytime they get up, they wear the mask. And is this a perfect plan? No, but I just cannot. This has to resume. It does. And it's frustrating. It's not even close to being at the same when they're at home learning.
No, and I agree with you. I do. Not to mention there's issues, right? Not everybody that's at home has access to computers. Not everybody that's at home has access to internet. So when you say, okay, well, we're going to do everything online, you got to make sure that every kid has the ability to do everything online. And you are right about that too. I mean, the education, I don't believe, is as good because you have parents like myself that might be working, like you, that might be working. The discipline might be lax. So I agree with you. You got to find a way to get the kids in school. The problem is, and Heather just read about it, you know, the house party that happened that obviously had COVID cases from it, the night at Harper's, the night on Torch Lake. So this will happen every day at school. And it's not even so much about the kids. It's obviously about the kids bringing it home to the parents, to the grandparents, whatever the case is. So while I agree with you, you totally need it. There's also the other side that is it safe enough? So I want to hear from the parents. I want to hear from the teachers. 248-539-9797. The other thing, too, is if you're a teacher, are you going back? Like, you don't have to.
Yeah, I want to hear from people, too, that if they have kids and they've already made the decision not to send them. I mean, I totally respect that. Look,
well,
we all have...
Hatchett's about to have... I heard him on Mike's show yesterday. They're about to have their third child. And he said, I don't know if the decision is made yet, but he said he's not sure he's going to send his kids back to school because of the health risks to a pregnant woman. And I totally understand that.
Yeah.
So... I wonder what the parents think. Obviously, people have different levels of concern. So you sound like you're sending your kids back if the situation allows you to.
And I believe people should have choice. I, without a doubt, believe every school district should still provide the online thing. Maybe they should look into Zooming. You know, obviously, you can't do that all day long. Here's my problem with the staggered thing. We have three kids that are 10, 8, and 6. So we're gonna have a first grader, a third grader, and a fifth grader. My wife works at the school. So we're going to have one go in one day and one go in the other and one go in the other. Is she going to be able to work? No. You know, that's the version I hate more than any other version, is this staggered thing. It's almost like it's a half-ass type attempt to do it.
Sure. Because it's almost like, and I would agree, if you want to do it, then do it fully. Instead of, well, you know, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you're going to be here. Tuesday, Thursday, the other Monday, you're going to be here. But the flip side of it is, like, I'm a firm believer. I am, that we always push it down the, kick the can down the road. Like, we're talking about 2021 in sports. We're talking about next year in school. There is no guarantee that this thing's going to be better anytime soon. You know, we're going to have to be wearing masks and dealing with the coronavirus and COVID for a while. So at some point, you do have to figure out how to learn to live with it. And I know what people say when you say that. Oh, my God, tell that to all the people that are going to die. And I understand that response. But, Tom, you're right. At some point, the kids got to be back in school. It's best for them. And at some point, we got to figure it out.
Well, I'm a big believer, and personal opinion here. Now, no science behind this. I believe way more people have had this than realize it.
You might be right.
I think it's through the roof compared to what's actually in the numbers, because this thing was spreading here since late fall. I believe my wife had it, actually. And I believe I've heard from many, many other people who think they've had it. So, all right, let's go to the phones. We got Rudy in Detroit. You're on 97.1 The Ticket.
Good morning, fellas. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Hey, Rudy.
All right. Hey, so, you know, you talk about schools opening. Our schools opened yesterday for summer school here in the Detroit Public School System. And I decided to send my children to school. One's kindergarten and the other one is in third grade. And I got to tell you, during the pandemic, you know, they did the online thing and they just weren't getting it. They for some reason, they just weren't getting it. And so we got the opportunity for them to go back to face-to-face schooling, and we decided we're going to let them go. And I got to tell you guys something, man. Bravo to the Detroit Public School System and especially to Munger Elementary. They are on their jobs when it comes to safety. There's only 7 kids per class. And I know that's not going to be able to happen when regular school happens. But however, no parents are allowed to be in the schools roaming the halls. All the kids have their temperatures taken on their way into the schools. Everyone has to have a mask. And if you don't have one, they'll provide one for you. Sanitary, as far as hand sanitizers going, my kids told me, they said, Dad, man, every like half hour, the teacher was coming around with hand sanitizer, making sure that we were all cleaned up. So I think it's a good idea. I really do. And you know, like I told the screener, this ain't no political statement for us. You know, this is just something saying, hey, I know that my kids, what they need and their needs are. And just like you said, Jeff, a lot of kids don't have the ability of having internet and computers, especially in the Detroit school system. So I think it's important that we get back to school.
Hey, Rudy, how much do you think it's going to change when the fall hits? Like if we do have school and those classes go from 7 to what, like 20? I mean, are you going to be a little more concerned at that point, or just you think they'll figure it out?
I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you, Jeff. I was really scared to death, to be honest with you. Of course, I wouldn't let my family know that. However, when I got to see how things were done, I kind of figured, like, you know, they've got a little bit of time. I know it's not a lot of time. However, I do feel as though they are going to get it together, and they're also giving you the option. Look, if you don't feel comfortable to send your kids, and this, I'm only speaking for Detroit Public Schools. If you don't feel comfortable sending your kids face-to-face, you're more than welcome to do the online thing. You're more than welcome to do the roll calling and all of that stuff. But for me and my children, it only works for them to be one-on-one with the teachers.
Rudy, right. I think it's a great call, and I appreciate it. And I think a lot of people think like Rudy does. Now, it changes a little bit, I guess, if there's an outbreak. And it shuts everything down, but I kind of agree with Rudy and Tom.
Of course it changes.
Try it.
I mean, I think Rudy's spot on. I think this should be personal choice. And it should be personal choice for teachers as well. You know, I mean, there's teachers that have people in their family that are vulnerable, you know, 100%. Or maybe they are vulnerable themselves. I mean, all right, we got a ticket text here. It says Macomb County Public Schools are opening fully, already decided. I have not heard that, so I'm not saying that that's wrong, but I have not heard that confirmed. It's not about your wife or the kids. I teach and coach. I don't want to die. There is no plexiglass. It doesn't have to because you don't have to send them because you're tired of your kids. I'm not tired of my kids. I just personally think we should send them. We disagree. We agree to disagree. Says Tom, schools can't afford to buy markers for their students, let alone plexiglass barrier between the seats. We need to protect the kids. Look, we need federal funding for all of our schools to get through this right now. I mean, that's kind of the no-brainer with this, right? We're all assuming something's coming.
Yeah, I would agree. Yes,
that's what that all the governors have been pleading for it. I would assume something's coming. All right, let's get back to the phones. Bill in Grosse Pointe, you're on 97.1 The Ticket.
Hi, so I just want to hit a couple points. First, I agree that, like, for their social development, I feel like especially young kids need to be in school because that's how they, like, make friends. That's how they develop. That's how, like, that's what's best for them. But the problem is we have enough adults in this country that say you don't need a mask. How are you going to get a six-year-old to wear a mask all day? Like, that doesn't seem plausible to me. And we have, like, our, like, I don't think governors should be able to actually get the funding they want to, like, get plexiglass and get all these masks. I don't know. I don't get how that's feasible. I think that I want kids in schools. I just don't know how that's going to happen.
Well, I think there's a couple things, okay? So about kids wearing masks, it's going to be challenging for sure. Now, maybe you can get it in the minds of the older kids to take it more serious and the discipline of the teachers. I mean, it's going to be like no running in the hallway, right? You got to follow the class rules, and part of that is wearing a mask in the common areas and only being able to take it off when you're told so. The younger kids, I'm totally with you. Like, I have no idea how kids my daughter's age and a little older are going to wear masks. But
oh, they're already talking about, like, second graders and lower not wearing them.
Right.
No, and I hear you. But, like, for instance, at daycare that she's going to right now, all the teachers wear masks and the kids don't.
Yeah. So, and my thing is, okay, so why can you have eight kids in a daycare and you can't go to a classroom?
Yeah.
I just think there's so many double standards throughout this whole thing, and that it should come down to personal choice. If you feel safe sending your kids, if you feel safe going to teach, go teach.
Right. But the problem is if not enough teachers come back, or, I mean, if you have overcrowded schools as well, if everybody's like, okay, let's send the kids back, then you're talking about the same amount of kids in the classroom as last year. And that to me doesn't seem feasible. See, I get both sides of it. I do.
No, and I do too. We got another ticket text, kind of goes with what you said, Jeff. I can't believe I'm actually agreeing with Rieger. I have four kids. My four-year-old needs the social interaction more than anything. There has to be people smart enough to figure this out. Mike in Williamston. And I agree with that, you know? I mean, it just comes down to, I've noticed it especially with our six-year-old. He'll be going into first grade. You know, it's lacking. He hasn't even gotten to see, like, the friends like my other two kids have, you know, in the last month or so, where we'll go to a, you know, friend's pool or something like that. Small crowds. Because that friendship, they're still not quite established yet at that age. And then you don't really make good friends yet until you start getting in a little bit older, you know, like your friends, like remember that person that, well, we don't even know, talk to them anymore with kids that age. So it's like, I just feel like my youngest is lacking getting that stuff. I mean, our little league baseball decided to stay open, and they almost closed it. And so we've been practicing and now playing for over a month. You should see how these kids are responding. It's unbelievable. It's like you can tell that have been impacted by something here, and that they haven't been having interaction, and seeing them loosen up and have fun. I mean, there is got to be a point in time where we take a chance here with this.
248-539-9797. If you want to chime on in, the text and the number are the same. We are talking about the schools, and there's a lot of ticket texts to get to. There's a lot of calls to get to as well. Do you actually believe it's going to happen? More importantly, would you send your kid back to school? If you're a teacher, are you going back to school yourself? I wanted to read one quick ticket text. Then we go to Tom that has some ticket text and some calls as well. But I love this text, and it simply says, if your kid is struggling, it's because of you. It's not because of the lack of school. And I kind of find that insulting, because how many parents are working? It is our job to teach the kids. I get that. It's our job to be parents. But we're probably not as good at it as teachers are, who get paid to do it. Not to mention, you got a job, your wife has a job, the kids at home. I mean, it's hard not to just say, all right, here's the YouTube, unfortunately. Or, you know, here's the ABC Mouse, which is a little more educational. But during extraordinary times, to blame the parents for the kids not being able to kind of get that lesson plan down, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, there's
so much going on.
There's families that don't even have internet, you know? Come on, I know that that some people find that impossible to believe. And then what about the single families? And what about homes where there's domestic violence? None of this is getting attention on the news right now. Like, I've heard there's been a steep rise, but you got to go find this stuff because the mainstream media is not going to put it out there. There's been a steep rise in domestic violence. I've been told from a wife of a firefighter that in our area that suicides are way up, and that he's having a difficult time as a firefighter dealing with it because it's so sad and it's nonstop. So there's things happening here that, you know, every household isn't, you know, a man and woman and happily ever after and white picket fences with the internet. All right. My wife is a teacher, and her biggest obstacle is the parents. They want their kids back in school, but some have told them they won't wear masks. Look, it's a compromise to try. Parents don't balk for 1 second at a fire or an active shooter drills to keep them safe. But this little piece of fabric is completely out of line. I want my wife safe as well. Charlie in Waterford. Great text.
Are you kidding me? You want your kids back in school, but you're not going to have them wear the mask?
Well, look at the That's idiot ridiculous. Up in near, I think, Traverse City, Acme Township yesterday. He threatened, what was it? Did he get a
gun?
Pulled
out a knife.
It was a knife.
Yeah, in a mire. He was in a mire in, Traverse City area. And a female asked him to wear a mask. And he decided to brandish a knife. And then the cops were called. And he was able to, the female backed off as she should have. You know, it's not worth getting hurt over. He brought a couple items, and they have his picture. They're looking for him. But think how selfish that sounds. That's having your cake and eating it too. Yeah, I want my kid to be in school, but you better not ask my kid to wear a mask. Like, F off, man.
And like Charlie said, let's try it, okay? There are going to be times when the kids are going to take them off, you know? People need to think this out, though. I mean, look, I believe lunch should be held in the classroom. Basically, what you're trying to do
or
is
outside.
These kids are all, but by themselves as classrooms, I would go, or maybe two, you know, one on each side of the building or something like that. It has to be done smart. You know, when the kids go get on the bus, they need to release classes one at a time. These are the things that need to be done. so that you're limiting how many of the kids they're around all the time, and teachers. Like, the teachers should never be around another group, another class.
Yeah.
You know, maybe, you know, substitute teachers have to be reconsidered. Maybe cancel a class gets canceled for a day, you know, or, you know, you can't just bring in any substitute. It's got to be, because you can't just grab people that haven't been in the school and start bringing in just random substitutes. It has to be the same substitutes over and over. I mean, to me, you just got to roll with it, and it has to evolve on the fly. All right, let's go to Tim in Flushing. You're on 97.1 The Ticket.
Morning, guys. There's just so many sides to this, isn't there? Wow. Two things. One, when I was a freshman, I played football. Our schedule was this. Juniors and seniors went from 7 a.m. to 12 noon. Freshmen and sophomores went from 12 noon to 5 p.m. If you played sports, you went from 10 to 3. Notice we had 5 hours, but we had half the kids in the building. I've not heard anybody say maybe split sessions are the best. They called this split sessions. And it was 5 hours. Our classes were 50 minutes. We had 10 minutes to get from class to class. We had a 10-minute break for lunch. And it worked out fine. I survived it, believe it or not. And I think I learned enough. I mean, for heaven's sakes, I've gone college and then some. Maybe it's not a bad idea. That's the first thing. Go ahead.
It's not a bad idea, but wouldn't you need an overabundance of teachers at that point? Like, wouldn't you almost need double the teachers at least? I mean, you can't expect the teacher to work, what, 12-hour days?
No. And here's why. Because some teachers would come in and work from 7 to 3, and some teachers would come in and work from 9 to 5. They did it that way. Now, that being said, we have a different world now because there's union contracts. And with all the things that teachers are being asked to do, by the way, I absolutely applaud you guys for talking about the value of school and structure, because structure is so important. I've got a kid that just graduated. She has reading and spelling disability. She missed high honors by 1/14 of a point. She's got four teachers coming to her open house. That's the value of teachers right there. We can't knock them out. We can't kill these teachers, because you know what? Once they go out, they won't come back from retirement, folks. They won't. They'll call it good. So.
All right. Thanks for the call, Tim. No, I mean,
it's a good point.
Yeah, it makes great points. I mean, it's a dicey issue, and unfortunately, it's become politicized, and it's going to become more politicized as we move forward here, you know?
I just don't believe, and Tom, I think you make a good point. Like, it's the trying aspect. I don't believe on July 14th that you can just say, you know what, cancel it. It's not doable. It can't happen. We have to learn to live with this thing somehow, some way. And I know every time you say that, people say, well, what about deaths? And oh, yeah, it's real easy to say until someone dies. Or how many people dying is enough for you, Jeff Rieger? I get it. But we do. This thing's not going anywhere.
No, it's not. I mean, again, we go to what I had said earlier. I believe way more people have had this virus than will ever be reported.
Well, there was a study that actually talked about that I saw in a ticket text. And apparently, you know, it's estimated at 5%, but it could be as high as 10 to 11%.
And then you factor in the, you know, that the virus was circulating for quite some time, and the kids before had been in school for several months with that happening. You know, I mean, it didn't just decide to come over from China in February. You know, I mean, we had all that international travel. I mean, one thing I think was a huge blessing in disguise that the auto show had originally decided to change to June. Because all that international travel that would have been coming in January would have made us maybe as bad as New York. Maybe not by total numbers because of population, but by percentage.
Too bad, though, that spring break wasn't canceled. Because I still believe a lot of what happened in Michigan is really attributed to spring break. A lot of kids going over, partying, coming back to Metro Detroit and passing it on to everybody.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're totally right. I mean, it's just, look, there's no right answer to any of this. I'm a believer in personal choice and having the, you know, the structure for the kids. I see it in my own kids' eyes, just like they're, you know, they kind of survived this, you know, last spring into summer because, you know, it was something new. It was almost cute, but they want to go back to school.
God, yes. Everybody wants to go back. But here's a ticket text at 248-539-9797. What's more important, education or health? In parentheses, death. And that's what you're dealing with. That's what you're fighting against. 248-539-9797, the ticket text the same.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you see what's happening in the South. Like I said earlier, I was watching CNN a little bit yesterday, and they had this young woman on that attends the University of Georgia, and she was like, oh, well, yeah, while all you are out there partying and doing all this, you're spreading to grandma. And her quote paraphrased was, yeah, you'd rather have a Bud Light than care for the health of your grandmother or grandfather. And it's right, you know?
True. So we can hit on this if you want to talk about it. I got a couple more ticket texts I did want to read. And tell me what you think about these. I agree, it has to be done smart. But if it's not, and this looks like it's the case, are you still willing to send your kids back? Remember, this is temporary. And I think that question goes to you, Tom. But when you say it's temporary, we've been saying it's temporary for 4 months now. And I get it. 4 months in the grand scheme of things is not the longest period of time in the world. But at what point is it going to be safe enough to try? I think that's what we're kind of getting at. If it looks to be a massive outbreak, if the numbers increase, or if kids go back to school and there is an outbreak, then yeah, you got to bust it up. It can't happen. You got to shut it all down. But at some point, it's like professional sports to a certain extent. You got to try.
Well,
at some
look
point,
at
you got to try to make it happen.
We're relying on adults here. You're relying on kids to be responsible. It's two very different things. I mean, that's on the side of people who think we shouldn't go back to school. You know, I mean, you've got athletes that, you know, Heather had the story yesterday about, you know, getting an Instagram model into the bubble. You know, I mean,
yeah.
they would rather jeopardize the NBA's bubble so that they can, you know, have 15 minutes of satisfaction.
Right. And you know what? Guys are going to be guys. But I get this ticket text, and it just simply says vaccine. The problem is, if you want to wait for a vaccine, A, who knows when it's going to be? B, who knows how much of the percentage of the population it's actually going to work for? C, has the virus mutated into a different strand? And if so, is the vaccine going to work on that? D, is it going to work? Like, there's so much uncertainty. There's so much uncertainty. We know nothing about this virus. When it's all said and done 10 years from now, we're going to look back and say, wow, if we knew this, if we knew this, if we knew this. So maybe it sounds insane to try, but you can't just coop yourself up until it's done. Well, it's not like one day it's going to be done.
The answer to a safe return is a proven vaccine that people are willing to take. And you know what the timeline for that is? I doubt any kid would go to school next year.
Yeah,
I think it's next spring to summer when that would be available. I actually think a lot of people would agree with this if they'd be content with sending kids to school if there was a proven treatment where it had
therapeutic.
Yeah, where it was like the death rate was 0.1% or something like that, 0.2%, because you're taking this treatment.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.